Chapter 2.
David Zelig, to what do we owe this rare honor?
David stiffened when he heard the familiar, oily voice. A smiling, middle-aged comb-over sashayed toward him from the other side of the Lincoln Center foyer. Rare honor, the implied criticism was well-founded. All his grown life, David had avoided the showy fundraisers of the Jewish American Public Initiative, the nonprofit known by the unfortunate acronym JAPI. All around him, gray-haired donors in cannoli suits gorged themselves on finger food and snatched wine goblets from floating trays, while their Botoxed wives lectured trapped diplomats on politics. Through the tall French windows, the skyscrapers of Manhattan loomed over Central Park, their myriad yellow eyes leering at David as the evening sky faded to black. The sudden urge to flee gripped David as Jerry Cantor, the JAPI chairperson, swooped down on him like a smiling vulture. But David held his ground. Tonight, Jerry Cantor was just the kind of man David had wanted to meet at the JAPI Northeast Gala, a man with connections to powerful Jews. David suppressed his gag reflex with a fawning smile and shook the outstretched hand. "The honor is all mine, Jerry." Cantor wrapped David's hand in both of his to prevent his quarry's escape.
"I've been trying to get a Zelig to speak at our events for decades. Our foundation deeply appreciates your family's leadership."
By leadership, he meant money. Would the chairperson still swoon over him once he learned of the Zelig family's recent financial troubles? The man's doublespeak triggered David's mean streak. He pointed at the poster depicting the evening's entertainment, a ventriloquist from Vegas. Is that meant to be ironic? Confusion swept Cantor's face.
"What do you mean?"
"You know, ventriloquists, people who put words in their dummies' mouths." The chairperson maintained his look of blank non-comprehension, so David elaborated. "At a fundraiser for a partisan lobby group? I hope the show won't offend the politicians." A hint of annoyance passed over Cantor's face like a speeding cloud. Then his gracious host persona bounced back.
"We prefer the word education to lobby."
"I'm sure you do." Cantor launched right into a proposal.
"What about the JAPI convention?"
"What about it?"
"It's 2 weeks from now. We'd love for you to deliver the keynote speech. People at Diet have seen the same old fogies every year. It's time they heard from the new generation."
"It's time," whispered the simultaneous translation in David's brain, "for the new generation to renew their family's pledges to the JAPI coffers." David's brow prickled with sweat. The very thought of delivering a speech before the conclave of Jewish philanthropy triggered a panic attack. Cantor had hit him with a large ask. David had attended the annual convention in Washington over a decade ago as a curious teenager tagging along with his father, and he had no intention of repeating that mistake. But he'd do well to ingratiate himself with the showrunner. Soon, David would hit back with his own even larger ask. "What's the theme this year?" Cantor framed an invisible banner with his hands.
"Protect America's minorities."
Now that was a cause David could rally behind. At last, a Jewish organization was facing the hydra of anti-Semitism. "I like it. It's about time we did something about those synagogue shootings."
"Synagogue shootings?" Cantor said, aghast. "No, David, we're talking about African and Latin Americans. We're talking persecuted minorities, those who suffer from systemic prejudice and racism. Not Jews. America has treated us very kindly."
Being gunned down in a house of worship wasn't David's idea of kind treatment, but he let the comment go. Was Cantor the wrong man for the job, or had David approached him at the wrong time? During the fundraiser, the JAPI chairperson was on set and in character. But on a different soundstage, would Cantor sing a different song? "Jerry, I need a favor."
"Anything, Mr. Zelig. Name it."
"Can we speak in private?" Cantor swallowed hard and nodded, unable to deny the request of an important donor, but probably sensing a dressing down by the young heir. He led David behind a curtain and into a side room jammed with stacks of padded conference chairs.
"Yes?
Isn't it time we used our clout for our own protection?"
"What do you mean?"
Again, Cantor seemed genuinely confused. Was the source of his confusion David's talk of their clout or their need for protection? A group of Jewish leaders to get things done on the quiet, behind the scenes, like the elders of
Cantor clamped a hand over David's mouth. David, he hissed, never say such a thing. David's heart thumped in his chest. The hairs on the back of his neck bristled. Did the Elders of Zion already exist? Was this toady his gateway to a hidden world of Jewish domination? When the hand released his mouth, David whispered, does the Elders exist? No, of course not. But the haters will use any excuse to fan the flames. Do you have any idea how precarious our situation is? Supremacists gun down Jews in synagogues. College kids beat up Jews on campus. A rolling pogrom is ravaging Brooklyn, but that doesn't even make the news. A hunted expression transformed Cantor. You talk of power and clout, the all-powerful Jewish lobby. He rolled his eyes and groaned. Don't mistake Jappy for power. These events of ours are glorified ransom payments. Here, enjoy this tasty dinner. Now please, pretty please, treat us like everyone else. We're begging for scraps at the table of human rights, David. A protection racket, that's what Jappy is up against. A protection racket that demands payment in caviar. The old man had stunned David into silence. There was no Elders of Zion. Jewish money was a fanciful illusion. But Cantor wasn't done. You know why your great-grandfather started Zelig Pictures? David shrugged. He saw an opportunity. Opportunity, my hairy behind. Back in the day, nobody thought movies would amount to much. Moving pictures were glorified peep shows. They were beneath the dignity of the Gentile upper class. Nobody dreamed that films would have such an impact. And television was beyond imagining. Trust me, your great-grandfather would have preferred to become a hotshot lawyer or industry tycoon. Do you know why he didn't? Because the Gentile elites shut Jews out of the corridors of wealth and power. Ivy League colleges invented rules to exclude Jews. The country clubs barred entry to dogs and Jews. So the Jews made films the way the Indians opened motels and the Chinese went into dry cleaning. That, my friend, is the real story behind Zelig Pictures and all the other big studios. His chest heaved, his comb over dangled at his ear. And the bigotry didn't end with business. 100 years ago, an angry mob lynched Leo Frank in the streets of Georgia while law enforcement looked on. Don't get me wrong, we've come a long way since then, David, and we've worked very hard to get here. Anti-Semitism is less socially acceptable, but it still lurks beneath the surface. We're sitting on a barrel of dynamite. He jabbed a finger at David's chest. So don't you go striking sparks with talk of Jewish conspiracies. If you do, synagogue shootings will seem like the good old days. Cantor straightened his tie, adjusted his comb over, and returned to the buffet hall, the oily smile back on his face. David composed himself with deep breaths. Cantor could not help him. He was a scared old man from a bygone generation. But he'd gotten one thing right. David was tired of listening to old fogies. The time of the new generation had come.